Once again, good morning and welcome to all of our visitors and all those joining us. I know we have a lot of out-of-town guests. We had two weddings yesterday. We even had a baptism, a confirmation on Friday of two of our students, as well as seven baptisms yesterday of children. So the Holy Spirit is definitely working powerfully here at St. Mary's, and it's good to have all of our guests and visitors. You're always welcome here at St. Mary's Catholic Center. So my friends, today we celebrate the Solemnity of Pentecost. And Pentecost is a Greek word, and it comes from the word meaning 50th. So as in the 50th day after Passover. So remember, the Feast of Passover for the Jews was 50 days before the Jewish Festival of Weeks. These are two high feasts in the Jewish faith. Now, these Jewish holidays are carried over into Christianity with the new Passover, which we know is called Easter, and the new Festival of Weeks that we call Pentecost. So 50 days after Easter is the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. I see some of you wore red as well today to help us signify that as well. So why do we celebrate Pentecost? Pentecost is where we encounter the sending of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So just like we have a relationship with God the Father and can have a relationship with God the Son, who is Jesus, we also can and should have a relationship with the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Remember, my friends, these are not three different gods. They're one God, but three persons. If you remember in the book of Genesis, at the creation of the world, all three persons of the Holy Trinity were present. We hear in the Gospel of John that God the Father created all things through the Word who is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. So in a sense, God the Father spoke the world into being through the Word of God. We then look to Genesis chapter 1, and we see that the Spirit, or in Hebrew, Ruah, hovered over the waters in the beginning. So this Ruah is the breath or Spirit of God, who is the third person of the Holy Trinity. So God, who speaks the word and the breath, hovers over the waters. Now, if we look to our gospel today, the word Ruah, which was then translated into the Greek from Hebrew into pneuma, where we get the word pneumology or pneumonia, which deals with our lungs. In the original Greek wording in the Bible, pneuma is the same word used when Jesus breathes on the disciples. And this same breath, the same one back to Genesis that hovered over the waters. So my friends, we see this Holy Spirit. Now this same Holy Spirit we know is the one that comes down in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism. Or again, as tongues of fire in the upper room as we heard in our first reading today. So remember, this upper room is the same upper room that the disciples had the Last Supper. That's where the Last Supper took place. And so now they're back there, and the apostles are present with Mary in their midst. So Mary, who is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, we call her a title for Mary, spouse of the Holy Spirit, that the third person of the Holy Trinity, as we know, overshadowed Mary and brought about the birth of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that descended upon Mary at the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel came to her to announce that she would be the mother of God, at the Incarnation when Jesus is in her womb, that now also again in the upper room on this Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends upon Mary in a special and mystical way, just as he did when she became the mother of God. But my friends, how does this Holy Spirit help us today as modern disciples? So we notice when Jesus breathes on the apostles and gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, he's not simply just giving them the power to forgive and retain sins. Though that is an important part of it, and where we receive our sacrament of confession through this power given to Jesus to the apostles. But if you continue on in the gospel, Jesus also gives these apostles the Great Commission. As the Father sent me, even so I send you. So we are sent by our very baptisms into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, my friends, Mass itself, the word for Mass, the translation is sent. Mass means sent. So just as the Father sent the Son, so the Son also sends us his disciples. And we have two student groups that are on mission right now. We have a group in Denver and then one in the Valley, which I'm joining later today. And they're both on mission. And some of you will do mission work as official missionaries. But also our mission is to first and foremost our families. Our mission is first and foremost to our workplace, to our parish. That person, that's the call, the great commission that the Lord gives us is to be Christ and to spread the good news to all who are in our lives. Now, an image that I appreciate on how the Holy Trinity is in communion with us and how the Son and the Spirit are sent and how we can be in communion with the Holy Trinity is this image. So first we know that there's God the Father. He's uncreated. He has always been. And he sends the Son, who has also always been, who's begotten of the Father. He sends the Son into the world, Jesus Christ, to save the world, to save us from sin and darkness. And then we also know that Jesus then sends the Holy Spirit. So we have the Father who sends the Son, who sends the Holy Spirit to us. And then we know that the Holy Spirit groans inside of us and then leads us back to the Son. And then we know that the Son is the mediator and the only way for us to get back to the Father. And so then the Son leads us to the Father. So we see this U as an image of the Father sending the Son, who sends the Holy Spirit to us. And the way we get back to the Father is through the Holy Spirit, who leads us to the Son, who then brings us to the Father for all of eternity. Now, we don't want to be too systematic or precise here because we don't want to put God in a box. He is God and he cannot be contained in a box or an image. But I think it helps us to understand of how we fit into this communion of the Holy Trinity, both here on earth and what that looks like for eternal life. Now, moving on from this image to a little story. Recently, I went to Bastrop State Park with some of my friends and we went hiking there. So if you remember, if you're from this area, about 10 years ago, there was a huge forest fire in Bastrop that destroyed like 32,000 acres of land, and also a lot of houses. Now, this destruction by fire, especially of people's homes, was tragic, and it cannot be dismissed. But it was interesting to hike through this forest 10 years later and to see the beautiful growth and the new trees and the flowers and the little sprouts that have grown up. The fire revived the forest, in a sense, naturally. Now, in a similar way, my friends, when the Holy Spirit came as tongues of fire upon the apostles and Mary in the upper room, he also revived the church. The Holy Spirit stirred in their hearts into flame. They were scared. They were hiding. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they had a boldness and a courage to spread the good news of Christ to the ends of the earth. Many point to this moment as well as the birth of the church, the birth of the Catholic Church. So in today, you can celebrate, even with a birthday cake, the birth of our church today on Pentecost. Now, my friends, that same Holy Spirit dwells within us in our baptism and is sealed by our confirmation. So we can allow the great power of the Holy Spirit to also revive our own and renew our own faith. But how? We just ask. It's that simple. The power of the Holy Spirit, my friends, is the most wasted power in our world today, a power that is freely given to us by our very baptisms. Many times we forget to call on him to help us in our day-to-day life. We forget to ask him to console us and to bring us his peace in times when we're scared or we're worried or we're stressed or anxious. We forget to allow him into our lives when we're making a big decision or a small decision for ourselves or for our families. We forget to allow him to enlighten us to choose the right path. We forget to allow him to help us to pray when we feel lazy or tired or we don't know the right words to choose. We forget to ask him to be our strength in times where we feel weak or confused or seem to be going towards despair. We forget to ask him to bring unity, a oneness to our own divided hearts, possibly to our divided families or divided community or nation. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit wants to transform our hearts, our faith, and our families. And the key is for each one of us to just soften our hearts, to open our hearts and our lives to allow him to bring his power to renew us, to revive us, and to breathe new life into our deadness. Now, finally, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to cover with you, how do the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, which we know are sacraments very clearly centered on the Holy Spirit, how do they connect to Pentecost? Well, first in baptism, we are incorporated into Jesus' paschal mystery, meaning Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. So when we're baptized, we die with Christ so that we may also rise with him in the resurrection someday, whether at judgment day or the end of our life. Now, in a similar way, in confirmation, we can say we enter into the Pentecost mystery, the mystery of the Holy Spirit being poured out onto the church and the church being sent into mission into the world. So baptism and confirmation are parts of a whole. Just like Passover and Pentecost were parts of one whole in Judaism. Passover was the beginning of the harvest festival, and then Pentecost was the climax of the harvest festival. And in the case of Catholicism and in the church, baptism initiates us into Jesus' Passover, and then confirmation fulfills that initiation and sends us on mission into the world. That mission beginning in our homes and in our families, in the classroom and in the workplace. So my friends, with the same faith as the apostles and Mary in the upper room, we too ask that the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to transform us to be more like Jesus Christ and lead us to Jesus, who will then bring us to the Father, who then brings us to eternal life. And so we close today with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. Lord, by the light of the Holy Spirit, you have taught the hearts of your faithful, and the same Spirit help us to relish what is right and always rejoice in your consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.